This episode of Travel Today with Peter Greenberg is brought to you by Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio information and entertainment. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Sign up today at www.audiblepodcast.com/travel today to get a free audiobook and 30-day trial. 52 minutes after the hour, Peter Greenberg here with you from the Broadmoor in Colorado Springs, taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. And if you can't get through on the phones, you know the drill. You email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question, or problem. We will solve it right here on the air. In the world of, well, gastronomic snobbery, everybody thinks they're an expert. Everybody's a foodie. And everybody wants to do one-upsmanship, and somebody has a better experience than another. And I'm one of those people who believe that, you know, being smart is admitting what you're dumb at. So I can appreciate wine, but I am not my next guest. My next guest is the master sommelier here at the Broadmoor, and his name is Brandon Tebbe. Brandon, not that many of you guys around, only a little bit more than 200 of you around the world.
Yeah, about 213, I believe.
But who's counting?
Every year.
Every year. I mean, and it's a pretty rigorous test. It's more than one test, isn't it?
It's three different parts.
Yeah. Explain how that works.
You have a blind tasting part where it's six wines. So you have 25 minutes, and you got to break them down, basically down to varietal, location, alcohol levels, tannin levels.
It's a blind tasting.
It's a blind tasting. Yeah.
See, I would fail immediately because I'd say that's red, that's rosé, and that's white. Bye.
That works. Yeah.
Sometimes that's all you need, but it's such a subjective business. It is by definition because everybody's palate is different.
To a good degree, I think all wines in their core though have. I guess all wines speak to you in a certain way at their core. It's actually deductive tasting is the way I would say it instead of blind tasting. So you're trying to actually figure out what's actually there rather than the subjectiveness that some sommeliers go on tangents about. So,
and, you know, for years, people get, you know, it's sort of, people have instantaneous love affairs with a certain kind of wine and then they go away. Yeah. You know, Sideways took care of Merlot, you know. Yeah. But, you know, there's that instantaneous love affair people have with Chilean wines. And then we found out later on they really weren't Chilean wines. They were rebranded South African wines during the apartheid sanctions, you know. And then, of course, came the Malbec craze, which is still here, right? Yeah. Well, at least the Argentinians make wine for the Argentinians. They actually are wine appreciators as opposed to the Chileans who make wine for everybody else, but they don't necessarily drink it.
Yeah.
What's the hottest wine on your menu right now?
It's domestic. It's Cabernet, Pinot Noir, Chardonnay still.
It's all domestic?
It's still by far the hottest wines.
Yeah. Coming from where?
Napa Valley, Washington, Oregon Pinot Noirs.
Well, that's what Oregon is famous for.
Yes.
Exactly, because of the climate. You know, with every state in America, with the exception of one, makes wine.
Yeah.
Name that state that doesn't do it.
Alaska?
No. You just failed my test. Oh, my God. No, North Dakota. Alaska makes wine. They don't grow it.
That's true.
But with every state making wine, including Colorado, is there such a thing as a good Colorado wine?
Oh, yeah. There's lots, actually.
Like?
Colteras Cabernet Sauvignon from the Grand Valley. Infinite Monkey Theorem, which is actually made in...
Say that slower.
Infinite Monkey Theorem.
So that was some geek who decided to get into the wine business?
Yeah, he actually he worked for Sutcliffe Vineyards in Colorado, which produced really good wines. He worked in New Zealand. I believe he worked in Burgundy as well. He's kind of a crazy Englishman who decided to truck the grapes over the mountains at night and make the grapes in downtown Denver, so make the wine.
They're making wine in downtown Denver?
Makes in downtown Denver, yeah.
Well, known for their wine?
Yeah, urban winery. So
it's called an urban winery?
Yeah.
I love it. All right, so those are the top sellers, but what's coming up? What do you see as up and coming?
I'm starting to see kind of a resurgence back into Bordeaux, especially with the pricing starting to come down. So I'm selling a lot more Bordeaux. Malbec is still lively, and Oregon Pinot is starting to overtake sales of California Pinot for me.
All right, now, a tougher question for you. What's the most overrated wine?
It's not really that tough, actually. Ramado or, like, orange wines, anything oxidized style, like Arbois. A lot of those wines are... The Soms love to bring them in, and then they just sit on the shelf. So I'd say those are definitely the most overrated.
But what's the ones that are overrated that don't stay on the shelf?
Malbec.
Really?
Yeah.
You're not a Malbec fan?
I like the single vineyard stuff. I like the things that they actually spend a little more time, a little more extraction on. But, yeah, I'm not really a Malbec fan.
Wow. See, I fell in love with it. I'm also a single malt fan, but that's a whole different area we're not going to talk about.
Love single malt.
Do you really?
Oh, yes.
What's your favorite?
Mac 18, probably. Although I do like...
Ardbeg.
Ardbeg? Very nice.
Yeah. Well, that's an intense single malt.
Yeah. I'm not... draw back a little bit on the peat, so...
See, the more peat, the merrier for me.
Yeah.
You know, Ardbeg, Laphroaig, Lagavulin.
Yeah, you open Laphroaig across the bar, I can smell it, so it's...
Oh, you can smell it a mile away.
Yeah.
But you just do one a night, you're okay.
Yeah.
That's one glass a night, yeah.
I do Yamazaki as well, or...
Oh, the Japanese one.
Yes, yeah, that's...
These really guys, I have to say, the Japanese have really come up.
Single malts are amazing. And the pricing is phenomenal.
You know, I just came back from Iceland. They're making single malt in Iceland now.
Wow.
You know why? Thanks global warming. Because now they can grow the barley in Iceland that they can make the single malt from. It's one of the only things that you can say positive about global warming is they're making single malt in Iceland.
That works for me. The more I can drink.
Right. I mean, and they're making single malt in Tasmania, which is, they're doing a good job.
Nice, dude.
Yeah, I know. So the biggest surprise bottle on your list?
Biggest surprise bottle on my list? That'd be hard to say. Actually, not a huge fan of 2008 Burgundy, but we opened a bottle of Denis Morté, Lavaux Saint-Jacques, and it was just mind-blowing. I mean, absolutely amazing.
So, and what does that retail for?
It was on the list for $285, however, it disappeared.
Well, see, it's a bargain.
So
now, I've got one for you. You go to the new terminal at Charles de Gaulle at the airport in Paris, and they have the world's largest duty-free store, okay, in Europe at least. And you go in there, and there's a glass-enclosed store within a store, and what do they sell there? Wine.
Yeah.
Now, who's going to the airport to buy wine? You know who it is? The Chinese. The cheapest bottle of wine in that store, $900.
Wow.
And they're buying wine, but they're doing something else, as you already know. They're buying the wineries.
Yes.
40 of them in France in the last year and a half.
Yes. They're buying up everything, which is, it'll be interesting to see what happens with that.